Welcome to the Gonzo.moe News Broom. It always catches me off guard how short that intro is, considering how long the intro to the other show is. I'm JP. I'm joined by Kyle and Vinny, as usual. How are you doing, Kyle?
I discovered the Kawabuchi Highlander anime.
Nice. Wait, is this Kawajiri?
That's what I meant. I said Kawabuchi. I apologize. But anyways, yeah. I was talking with someone and they were, we were talking about soundtracks and movies. And then they were like, Kawajiri made a Highlander anime. And I thought they were kidding.
Nope.
And we looked it up and they were not kidding. And what's more is it actually looks good.
It is pretty good.
You want to find the director's cut if you can for that one.
Got it.
I'm not sure which one I've seen. But how are you doing, Vinny?
I am doing pretty good. I am rested and ready for another adventure in anime news.
Nice. Later this week, we have a very special demanded podcast. Demanded is a weird way to word it. Dick Fight Island. We're finally talking about that manga. The fans wanted it, and they're going to, I don't know, maybe regret it afterwards because it's going to be 1 hour of dick and cum jokes.
Wait. Was anyone other than me demanding it? Because I think I thrust it upon you.
Oh, my God. At least one person on Twitter has asked more than once for a Dick Fight Island podcast. And because we don't have very many listeners, one person is like a pretty overwhelming demand.
And I will save the rest of my jokes for that podcast.
Yes, but this is the News Broom. We record this every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. It comes out at 2 p.m. Eastern on Mondays. It also technically airs on WJMOE Radio, but that is... it's going to die. I got an email from Shoutcast the other day that says they're shutting down all servers on like April 9th. I was thinking about not doing it anymore anyway because no one listens to it. But the last week, one person has been listening nonstop. So my bad. They're shutting down all but like big radio station servers.
That's sad.
Yeah. I mean, it was a fun experiment. I ran it for about 6 or 7 months and... it had a bit of a following for a couple weeks and then it died off and like it'll go weeks without people listening. So I'm just giving $25 to the void. Anyway, this is the News Broom. We do a rundown of the previous week's news. Most of the stories are from Anime News Network, but every once in a while there are other sources. The show is just about an hour long. The reason for the 57 minute thing was for the streaming radio station. I think now that that's dying, I'm going to top it off to just an hour. But we're going to keep this one at the normal length. We're also on Twitter. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. You could call us at 716-46-MOE-43. That's 716-466-6343. We have a lot of news to talk about, so let's get to it.
Where are the demons? Bring on the pain!
Every week I say this, that I'm going to do less stories than the previous week, and every week I do more stories than the previous week. My bad.
Jokes on us.
Most of the stories this week are release dates being announced, so it should go quick. The first thing I have is from, oh goodness, I just read this article and I forget where it came from. Is it the Wall Street Journal? This was an interesting article about how Japanese... is becoming a very popular language to learn for non-native speakers. Apparently, it's up 80% from 2015 and 2019.
This is the weebiest article. It just needs to be said.
Yeah, the opening is really funny. It's like, this high school girl calls her mom Okasan and also says Oswari, and then the mom says Sumimasen. It's very like early 2000s.
Yeah, and it's just like weebs being weebs, and the mom's like, I started to learn Japanese too, so that way when my daughter says urasai, I can then chastise her. And I'm just in there like, stop it, I can't handle it. But it is really funny.
Yeah, I thought it was a fun article. I didn't know what it was about when I originally tagged it, because I just saw people sharing the excerpts of like, I called my mom a baka. And it ended up being a really interesting article about...
it's just funny that this has reached mainstream levels of, like, you know, like, this is the kind of thing that you and I knew about, but now the Wall Street Journal knows about.
Right. I think my favorite part of it is their description of Dragon Ball Z, which technically they're describing Dragon Ball, where they say it's a show about a young monkey-tailed boy and a teenage girl who are in search of mystical Dragon Balls that grant any wish when brought together, which is technically not a lie, but it's just very funny to think, like, yeah, it's about a little monkey and a teenage girl searching for these Dragon Balls.
It's even funnier when you listen to because they mention some words in the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. And then they start to talk about with this section about how some words, they're like, aren't really usable.
Like Doki Doki?
And they talk about, like, yeah, they mentioned the Doki Doki, but they also mentioned the Dragon Ball. Like a phrase they say a lot has to do with like glowing energy sphere. And the person's just like, this isn't really usable at all in normal conversations, but I still use it when talking to my friends about Dragon Ball. And again, it's just the weebness is off the charts.
It's a good time. I would recommend at least reading the opening paragraphs, but it reads quick. And it will be linked in the show notes as usual. All of our stories are always linked in the show notes. The next bit is a lot of Jujutsu Kaisen news. It is doing very, very well. So in America, it got 17.7 million in its first 3 days. It was the second highest of that 20th. Weekend, I think.
20th.
It's 20th.
Oh,
in,
I see. You're looking at the next point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the 20th highest grossing film of all time in Japan, but it was number two in the box office in America when it opened. Batman beat it out.
For the record, it just has to be said that how movie calculations are done is like stupid, basically. Yeah. Like in terms of... Like, you know, because movie tickets always cost more and more. So, like, it's not that hard necessarily for, like, new films to beat older films.
Like, oh, sure. Like,
the actual measure of popularity should be tickets sold. Just saying. So, to anyone hearing the 20th highest grossing film in Japan, that doesn't necessarily mean as much as it's like more of like a marketing bragging thing than it is like real hard numbers.
Well, you can always adjust for inflation too.
Yeah.
It's doing very, very well. I saw it with Noelle last weekend. We put out a podcast this past Wednesday. If you want to hear our thoughts, there's lots of spoilers in that though. So be aware of that. Next, we have some quick manga news. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is getting a new manga in April. Mushoku Tensei is getting a spinoff about Eris. Thus Spoke Kishibe Rohan is getting a multi-chapter story. I don't know what that means. And then Black Lagoon is also getting a spinoff about Ada's CIA rookie years. It's been so long since I've watched Black Lagoon, I don't remember who that character is. This next one is interesting. So there's an anime called Kaguya-sama, Love is War. I don't know anything about it. Its third season is getting ready to air, but Aniplex of America is hosting a U.S. theatrical screening of the first episode in April.
What?
In Los Angeles. It says April 2nd at 4 p.m. Pacific. They are going to do, and also in New York at 7 p.m. On that same day. It's going to have the first episode, and then there'll be a talk with the cast, it looks like.
This is very much just like a promo event.
Is the show that popular to get that kind of promotion?
I don't know. I don't know anything about the show. I just know that this is the third season, and I thought it was really funny that it was having its first episode screened in theaters. It's like a ticketed event.
So. Yeah, I mean, I kind of forgot that Aniplex of America existed.
Yeah, they don't do a whole lot. They do, maybe a handful of titles a year. It's usually those, like, super niche titles that you can sell for $200.
So it says here that it's a talk show. Are they going to be satelliting in? Because it says all the Japanese cast members are going to be featured.
My guess is that it's a pre-recorded, because otherwise, how would they subtitle it?
Right.
So it's probably go ahead.
I think like interpret it or something, but that's about it.
Yeah. I know that when they've done panels at like online conventions, they're usually pre-recorded and subtitled. So a guy got arrested for threatening to burn Sega down. It says specifically he sent 12 threats to them, including setting fire to the company and killing different employees. He said that this was because he was mad that he lost in an online game.
Well, see, I mean, what's crazier is that this, he only got arrested after 12. I mean, after what happened with Kyoto Animation, I thought that they weren't messing around anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it took him 2 months to arrest him.
Yeah. Well, maybe it took them some time to find him, or it's possible that, you know, how many people email Sega every day? It could have just taken them 2 months to get around to it. The next one is an update from a story we talked about last week and I think a couple weeks prior to that. So Soul Press, the company where the CEO just ghosted everyone, they are no longer able to provide refunds. It sounds like 90% of their orders they cannot refund, and it's because they don't know where the boss is. So anybody that had outstanding orders through that company, you're probably out of luck, because it's likely too late to report that for fraud to your bank, would be my guess. It's a not a good time all around with that company. Netflix. There's a lot of Netflix news this week. Do either of you know if they had like a Netflix event?
I don't know. I have been seeing a lot of Netflix news too.
Yeah, I mean, most of it I feel like is maybe you're a shareholder. Like, this feels like a shot of something out of like a shareholder meeting more than the rest of their news.
Well, yeah, the one that I'm about to talk about is different from the rest of the news, but they had like, I feel like almost 10 anime announcements over the week. But the one miserable announcement is they are testing this new payment model. A lot of people will share their Netflix accounts with their family, you know, whether they live in the same house or they live in other houses. Like, I'm on my mom's Netflix, and I think my grandma is also on that account. So now they're experimenting with charging people extra if they want to do that. And they're testing it in Chile, Costa Rica, and Peru. Looks like it's an extra $3. It's different in each of them. So I don't know what these different currencies are. So I'm just going to assume it's around $3 in their respective currencies. And it says to enable members to share outside and pay just a little bit more.
I feel like they try this every like 7 to 5 years. Some way to deal with password sharing.
Yeah.
And it never seems to stick because people aren't going to play along.
Yeah, you know, it feels like this is the type of thing where they would just not share or cancel their account. Like, they just raised their prices, you know, pretty recently. I think Netflix is now the most expensive streaming service. It's something like $15 or $20 a month. And now they're, you know, adding on top of that an additional, well, a potentially additional charge, depending on how this goes. But you know, corporations like money, so I assume this is going to get rolled out everywhere.
Yeah, the classic, you know, need for bigger returns than last year, so things just keep getting worse year by year.
Yep, we need to have eternal growth forever.
So this next story is a Kyle, you brought up this director pretty recently. I think it was on a No Name episode.
I did, yes.
Also, at the beginning of this episode, I thought this is who you were talking about. I was like, wait, there's another?
I think, yeah, for some reason, I said Kawabuchi at the beginning, but I was thinking of Katabuchi, and then I was thinking of Kawajiri, and somehow I just ended up with a horrible portmanteau of the two of them.
It's their Dragon Ball Z fusion dance.
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine if those two got together and made a film?
I would be there with bells on opening night in Japan.
So Sunao Katabuchi is teasing another film. This is the person that made My My Miracle and In This Corner of the World. I've not seen the second film there, but I have seen My My Miracle. It's just been so long that I don't remember what it's about. It seems like it might be related to My My Miracle, because it says there's a character from that movie that this new film is going to be based on.
I don't know how. My Miracle is like a modern movie, isn't it?
It's been so long that.
So here's the thing. They said that this new story is going to be set, is going to be like based around the same thing as the Pillow Book, which Westerners are probably familiar as the Peter Greenaway film from '96 with, I want to say it has Ewan McGregor. in it, but it's about like a high-end period, you know, court woman who writes about her experiences of the royalty and kind of just, you know, that culture. So I don't know how a My Miracle person would be in the movie, because that's like a thousand, it's like 900 years before.
Maybe they just referenced that author.
It's definitely like cool. I mean, we've definitely seen, I brought up in the No Name show how, you know, In This Corner of the World and the director's cut, that's what I was talking about, mm-hmm. how it's now available through sources in the US. I would love to see them apply that level of dedication to something, you know, much closer to, like, you know, much more of like a historical Japanese era, which we've seen a little bit of a resurgence, right? I mean, the Heike story just finished from Science Saru, and we're getting a lot more stuff about that recently, like in that era. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited. This is something I'm definitely going to keep my finger on and just not lose track of.
I'm sure we'll get more news in the coming months. This next piece is probably going to be the hardest one for me to read for the entire show.
Do you want to trade off at certain points?
Yeah, sure. I guess we'll break it into three, I guess. So I'll read like the first third, and then Vinny can do the next third, and then Kyle can continue from there. So this is Crunchyroll's announcement for spring of 2022. The Legend of Galactic Heroes Season 3, it does not list a date for that one. Astab Life, Great Escape, March 23rd, Science Fell in Love, So I Tried to Prove It. That's April 1st. Mahjong Soul Pawn, April 1st. Fanfare of Adolescence, April 2nd. Love All Play, April 2nd. Build Divide, Code White, April 2nd. And then I'll read this last one. Magia Record, Puella Magi, Madoka Magica, Side Story, Final Season on April 3rd.
We also have Trapped in a Dating Sim. The World of Otome Games is Tough for Mobs on April 3rd. Tomodachi Game on April 5th. The Rising of a Shield Hero Season 2 on April 6th, also on Funimation. The Greatest Demon Lord is Reborn as a Typical Nobody on April 6th. Skeleton Knight in Another World on April 7th. The Dawn of the Witch also on April 7th. Kaguya-sama Love is War Ultra Romantic on April 8th. Date Alive 4 on April 8th. Dance, Dance, Dancer, and I will pass it to Kyle on for the next one.
All right, so also on April 8th, we're getting Love After World Domination. The next day on April 9th, we're getting four titles. Spy Family, Shikimori is Not Just a Cutie, In the Heart of Kunoichi Tsubaki, and Awashi. And then on April 10th, we're getting Don't Hurt Me, My Healer. On the 11th, we're getting Ascendance of a Bookworm Season 3. And then about a little less than 2 weeks later, on April 23rd, we're getting A Couple of Cuckoos.
A lot of anime.
To the brim, baby.
I am so out of the loop that I don't know what almost any of these are, which is funny because we read the news every week and I don't recognize most of these titles.
Recognized a few.
I know Astab Life. I think we talked about that last week. And... I guess we just talked about Kaguya-sama.
I will at least say that the ones I did recognize, I'm not going to watch.
Yeah.
So that doesn't bode well.
I haven't...
I've heard Spy Family is a good manga, so I'm curious about that one.
Yeah. I need to look through and see if there's anything I'm interested in. So there's a Satoshi Kon documentary, a French documentary, that is streaming in the U.S. for 7 days. It's streaming online... Obviously, because it says streaming. Where is it? I wrote the name of the service, even Eventive, starting March 26. So if you want to see that, I would look into that. It says it's with the Smithsonian National Museum of Asian Art. Big news.
I was going to say it's well-timed. I don't know if you were on Twitter, but there's been a conversation a lot lately about Satoshi Kon and specifically how his work has been... the basis for a lot of more popular works by like Western creators.
Oh, yeah. I saved that article. I haven't read it yet. I think I know what you're talking about.
It's just, you know, there's a lot of false information surrounding, you know, for example, Perfect Blue and Darren Aronofsky's, what is it? Is that one about drugs?
Requiem for a Dream?
Yeah. There's a lot of misinformation surrounding like what, whether or not he actually bought the rights to Perfect Blue and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I hope people, if you can, please include that article in the, you know, the link as well. But I hope people read that. And I hope that if they're interested and they kind of, I hope they watch this documentary.
Black Swan is also essentially just Perfect Blue live action.
Right. And of course it goes further. I mean, you know, the Inception wouldn't exist without,
Paprika.
What is it? Paprika. Yeah.
So this next one is big news for somebody that hopefully more people read, but not a lot of people talk about. Inio Asano is getting their first anime adaptation. Dead Demons Destruction is getting an anime. This is huge. This is a mangaka I've been following for a long time. They wrote Solanin, Downfall, Poon Poon. There's a few, Girl Who Walked on the Shore, I think, might be another one.
Oh, Nijigahara Holograph. Yeah.
Yes. It's like, I don't know how it's taken this long. And it's being done by the studio that did Orbital Children. So I'm very much looking forward to this. Sword Art Online is getting another film this fall for the Progressive spinoff. Tokyo Revengers is taking a 1 week break because a staff member tested positive for COVID. So if you are I don't know if that's being simul-published anywhere, but if you're reading that, that is why there's a gap coming up. There's a publisher called One Piece Books. I'm not super familiar with them, but it sounds like they've been in business since 2006. They licensed a number of titles. Captain Corinth, the Galactic Navy officer, becomes an adventurer. The Wrong Way to Use Healing Magic. The Death Mage light novel and manga. And then Usutoki Rhetoric. Oh, and The Music of Marie. So a lot of titles there from a publisher we don't hear from very often. If you're watching...
To say that one of theirs is ridiculous in particular.
Yeah.
One of them is called Officer Becomes an Adventurer. And it's basically Starship Troopers meets, like, Star Ocean.
Okay.
Yeah. I just was looking at it and went, what? Like, they're just combining so many flavors at that point.
Until all permutations of Isekai have been created, we will not be finished.
Bingo!
If you are a fan of the Gundam Reconquista in G films, the final two compilation films are coming out later this year, July 22nd and August 5th. I think Right Stuff is releasing those films, so I assume there'll be dates for that later on for North American release.
I just hope they do a big set because, I mean, these last two are coming out very close to one another. I mean, it's like, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, I suppose you're right. That would be pretty close.
And, you know, this is... I've heard great things about these, but I've been waiting for them
from
to finish.
Who?
Okay, firstly, Gavinny, you're talking to a very big fan of the TV series. And I've heard that the compilation films are only better.
Oh, okay. So you're a maniac who likes this TV series. Okay.
Got it.
The next one I have on here, I don't have a whole lot to say about the manga in particular. There's a manga called Together that's entering its last volume. I think it's a boys' love manga. The reason I tagged this is because it reminded me there used to be an MTV show called Together, and it was spelled the same way, like two and then gather. And I just wanted an excuse to bring that show up. It was about like a washed up boy band. Bastard, that is an anime adaptation that was announced a couple weeks ago. The full title, Bastard Heavy Metal Dark Fantasy. It is getting, I think in total it's 24 episodes. The first 13 are coming out June 30th, and then the remaining 11 will come later this year.
You're burying the lead. What's so funny about it, it says the newly announced cast members are, and then it has the most wildly different art styles between all four of the characters. One of them is a cute dragon. The second one looks like a girl from, I don't know, like Ranma or something. The next one is like Edgelord. Then the fourth person looks like they could be from...
That's just Gene Simmons.
Detroit Metal City or something. So... It's a lot going on, whatever this series is.
I have to try it. This is because, and if you go further down, you eventually hit like one of them is just Jonathan Joestar.
Nice.
Yeah. Edgelords.
There is a Uma Musume Shadowverse tie-in coming up. I'm not super familiar with Shadowverse, but the headline is very funny. Uma Musume's horse girls gallop to the Shadowverse. It makes me think that they're, you know, going into hell.
This is like the mirror universe. They're going to have goatees and everything.
Yeah, that would be pretty funny. The Pacific Rim, the Black anime, is getting an April 19th debut. It says final season. I didn't even know there was a first season. That's how little people were talking about the Pacific Rim anime. It looks like it came out in March 2021.
Because it's not good. It's one of those CG. And honestly, Pacific Rim's best days are behind it. There was one good Pacific Rim thing, and that was the first movie. And it's just been downhill ever since.
More Netflix news. Netflix is adding the One Piece Film Z on April 15th. That is a fairly older film, isn't it? It's like 5 or so years ago.
I think more than that. That's the second film in the sort of modern series. And what I would describe as like the current run. Oh. It's 10 years old.
I think it's one of the films, though, because at a certain point, the creator started to actually like write them. He wasn't just like weird one-offs that the anime studio was doing. He's like, I'll write it in. And, you know, it's not great. None of them are great.
Fair enough.
I liked Film Gulp. I don't follow One Piece, and the movies are enjoyable by themselves.
I mean, I like One Piece, but I don't like the movies. So let's just say your mileage might vary. But if you haven't seen it, you're happy, I guess.
more Netflix news. Kengan Ashura is getting a sequel. The original series came out in 2019. This will conclude the series. This next story is an interesting one, I think mostly because it was announced on Anime News Network. There is a Sailor Moon parody fan dub that is getting a screening at the Toronto Queer Film Festival on April 1st. And that was interesting to me because I don't think I've ever seen fan dub news on Anime News Network. But also, just the conversation that it devolved into the forums was very funny. They talked about the ethics of fan dubbing. They miscredited the origins of fan dubbing to like YouTube abridged series, which is why fandom history is very important. But the most interesting piece out of this was that the film originally premiered on Instagram, which I didn't know you could put a video that long on Instagram. I assume this is, you know, film length. So if you are in Toronto and are interested in that, I guess you can go to that in what is that, in a week? Probably next weekend. Panda Go Panda got relicensed by G Kids. That is Miyazaki and Takahata on that. I don't know much about this. Kyle, you're the Ghibli expert on the podcast.
Yeah, no, it's a good... This was... Discotech had this for a while. So it seems like G-Kids is making a concerted effort to bring as much of the Ghibli, or at least like Takahata, Miyazaki content as possible under one roof. Of course, they're not going to be able to get all of it. For example, they don't have Green Jacket Loop on, which was done, or at least like a large chunk of that was done by Takahata and Miyazaki and staff. But I mean, after they just released the Conan, right? Future Boy Conan, and they're getting this. So hopefully, I wonder how deep they're going to go. I'm hoping that this is the sign of they're just going to keep rolling until as much of it as is physically possible has been licensed and brought over.
They're running out of things at this point.
I mean, there's still a lot of, I mean, what? I mean, my dream is always someone's going to go after Masterpiece Theater content. Cause they worked on a lot of those. I mean,
yeah, I don't,
it'd be cool to see Heidi, you know,
it would, I don't know if they'd touch that.
They got Future Boy Conan, and that was like a dream for a long, long time.
I guess my thought is they've avoided TV very hard for a long time, and they've done 2 TV series so far.
Yeah, but they've both been like Miyazaki or Miyazaki adjacent in the case of, you know,
Evangelion.
Anno. That's he's one of the proteges, so I think it counts. But yeah, this is exciting. People who don't own it already, but again, it did have a Blu-ray release, I want to say from Discotech.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know they did a DVD. I didn't know they did a Blu-ray of it.
I thought it got like a very, I want to say it got a Blu-ray release. If it did, it was one of the, a very short lived, it might've, I don't think they had it for very long.
Yeah. I'm looking on ANN. There was a Blu-ray of it.
I tried to look it up on Right Stuff, but it doesn't seem to be listed anymore. Or I misspelled Panda. Crunchyroll is going to be streaming Shoot Goal to the Future. That is a soccer anime. It looks like that premiered in it premieres in July. So that's one that I guess didn't make the list that we... Oh, no, because that was spring. So this is summer stuff. Interesting that they're announcing it so early. Seven Seas announced a number of titles. The most noteworthy of them is Ayakashi Triangle, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. That was a manga that Viz was publishing online, and they removed a couple of chapters, and that upset a number of people, and it sparked a whole conversation of like, well, if they're not going to give it to me, you know, is it really unethical to pirate this? And a lot of people were speculating that Seven Seas picked it up. This has now been confirmed. Kodansha USA licensed a boatload of titles. I don't think I'm going to read all of these titles because we only have 25 minutes left. But the one that stuck out to me was River's Edge, which it's probably not about the River's Edge film, but it made me think of it. That is one of Keanu Reeves' early movies. Big news for people named JP. Grappler Baki is getting another season. Not surprising, because the series has done very, very well for Netflix. The last season was only 11 episodes, I believe, so this is...
I think they've always been 12.
Well, the inmate arc and the Raitai tournament were both 24, I think. 24 or 26.
I don't think that's right. I think it's been like 13 a year for like 4 years now.
I think they've been staggering them. Because I know that the inmate arc got staggered here, but it didn't get staggered in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Raitai got released all at once.
I think that was only 13 episodes.
That was definitely 24. I almost guarantee you that was 24.
Nope, 13. I'm on Netflix right now.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I am misremembering them.
Like, I'm pretty sure they've just done 13 episodes a year now for the past 4 years. And this is just sort of following the trend.
Well, this is probably going to be another 12 or 13 then, because they haven't given us any other information. And this is where my knowledge of the manga gets muddy, because I never finished it beyond like halfway through the Pickle arc. But Baki and friends are going to fight a unfrozen caveman. Do It Yourself is an anime. It's coming out in 2022. I marked this because I really like the character designs. It is about six high school girls living in Western Japan learning do-it-yourself projects. It just got like fun, colorful designs. I don't know much more about it beyond that. Haidai.
They actually look like children. They have very interesting proportions for anime.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of Deno Coil a little bit in like the character designs.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Or almost like a Trigger design a little bit.
Yeah. It's interesting based on like who's making it, because I think the last thing the team did was just like some generic high school kids kill each other thing. High Dive is going to be streaming The Executioner and Her Way of Life. That starts on April 1st. This next one is pretty funny. So Yamakan, not the greatest director. He's been fired a couple times, and also hasn't he gone on a couple of racist rants on Twitter? Are either of you familiar with Yamakan?
I mean, looking at his ANN, it says he has vows to leave anime industry after finishing this. Files for bankruptcy. So yeah, there's like, he's a guy who is not afraid to get into the shit.
So he was trying to kickstart this Magical Girl film, and it didn't work out so well. And then he struggled to find some investors and blamed it on coronavirus. But I got to wonder if it's just that nobody wants to touch this guy. Because he also did Fractal, which he claimed was going to like save the anime industry, and it was a tremendous flop. I just got that for like $8 in a Funimation sale. So I'll find out soon enough if it was actually any good.
He has worked on some good series. So, I mean, I can't say that he's all bad, but yeah, he definitely, what's interesting about this though, is he actually, he says that this is the project was supposed to be something about like the feelings which came to him after the Kyoto animation fire. Mm-hmm. So there is that link there. Although he, like, as it said, he hasn't been able to find. So I don't know. This seems, I feel like it's unlikely we're going to get this.
Yeah, probably not. Crunchyroll is removing all of the High Dive titles. That is a huge list, so we're not going to read it, but it's got to be at least 50 or 60 titles. If you also have High Dive, there's probably nothing to worry about, but if you only have Crunchyroll, by the time you hear this podcast, they'll probably already be gone. They're being taken off on March 31st. Onipon, we talked about that last week. That was the Oni Panties show that got a release date, April 11th. Ruby. So Ruby is this original series from the Rooster Teeth people who originally got famous for Red versus Blue, I think, which was a Halo like parody series. So they made their own Ruby, and then it got really, really popular, and now it's getting an anime. What's interesting about this is that Crunchyroll originally announced all of these, like, it must have been a huge article, because there were like character designs and, you know, plot summary and all this kind of stuff, and then I guess they deleted the article, because the Anime News Network thing is like, in the removed article, it also mentioned this, and I was like, I wonder why they would remove that article. And then I scrolled up a little bit in the news and I found that the writer of the Ruby anime was arrested for domestic abuse in 2015. And I wonder if it has anything to do with that. Not a good time. Toe Ubukata, I guess it was... August 24th, 2015, arrested on domestic violence charges. But I guess they got dropped. I don't know. It's a big mess, and the voice actors involved are not thrilled that he is involved in this series. My Dress Up Darling added even more copies to circulation, another 0.5 million. I just thought that was funny because it seems like every other week we're getting another increase to that circulation number.
Just keep one article open that they edit and just, you know, yeah, like, right. we shouldn't even get all these separate entries.
No, we're also, this is how we play into their hand, is every time they say something, we have to say it back.
Yeah, I guess I'm fooled again.
You're feeding them, JP.
I really liked that show. I've only seen the first 7 or 8 episodes, but I heard in a recent episode the character does blackface, so maybe not as good of a show as I thought.
God damn it.
It was a big thing on Twitter. I guess she does it so she can cosplay as a darker skin character. But I've not seen that episode yet. Katakawa unveiled a romantic comedy called Renee Flops. I believe that translates to Love Flops. I mostly mention this because it's an original title. I don't see that happen very often. Usually we're getting stuff based on other things. What else? There is a film called Rukadai Majo, or Failure Witch, that is coming out spring 2023. Science Sorrow, we brought them up once already. So they finally said what Yuri Deco is about. And
yes,
it's pretty much just Deno Coil, which I'm okay with.
No, what's really funny...
We have a weekly update on this show. They've been, you know, dragging it along now.
I'm still going to watch it. It looks fun. Yeah. But the description really does just sound like Deno Coil.
Well, it's funny for me. I was talking to Vinny about this, but I started watching The Orville, which is the Seth MacFarlane Star Trek-like. And they have an episode that also sounds just like this.
Nice.
So, yeah. Well, needless to say, I was excited about this. I am much less excited about this now.
That's the Kyle way.
You know? I thought I had something else to say about that. But, it also kind of reminded me of, I think it's the first episode of Black Mirror, where everybody has like a social rating, and somebody's social rating gets like dropped down to a 0. And that seems to be what happens in this, is somebody's like rating gets lowered and then they turn into a ghost. I don't know. But I'll check out at least the first episode. Bakugan Evolution anime is coming out in Japan on April 1st. The most interesting thing about that is it seems that it's already airing in Canada since February 6th. So I don't know, like maybe Bakugan's just really popular in Canada and they funded this. Cause I looked at the, the credits, and it seems that it's a Japanese team making it. It's not like an American production. But who knows? Somebody that knows more about Bakugan than me, which would be everybody, would maybe know more about that. Yen Press has licensed a number of titles. I'm not going to go through every one of these, but the most notable one, there's a Bell light novel, probably based on the show. I assume that was an original story. I've noticed that most of Hosada's films seem to have novel counterparts. Crunchyroll's added a bunch of manga to their manga service, which to that I say, Crunchyroll has a manga service? I knew that, but I haven't heard of it in months. Their app crashes a lot, too. So, Afro Samurai, there's a name we haven't heard in years. Oh, it says manga. Jesus, I misread this when I put it in here. I thought it was the movie getting a director's cut. It says manga getting a director's cut in English. Jesus.
I've never heard that title applied to a book or a manga.
That's even weirder.
This is unusual.
All right. Well, there you go.
Isn't it an anime first, though? So maybe this is just a nod to the fact that, like, it's a reverse adaptation.
Yeah.
I'm confused. It says 99 Afro Samurai manga.
Oh, maybe.
Is Afro Samurai an adaptation?
Maybe it was.
I could have sworn it was. I mean, I'm not saying I would love to be wrong, but I always thought that was an anime first and then a manga.
Yeah.
Same.
I thought that Funimation just made that up and paid Gonzo to make it. I guess it was based on a manga. Jesus. All right. We've got a bunch of quick ones. Legend of Mana, the Teardrop Crystal, is coming out later this year, 2022. Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon is still being made. Season 4 will premiere this summer. Pop Team...
Hi, Hestia's no longer Bestia.
Oh my God.
God damn it.
Pop Team Epic is getting another season in October. I don't know if the season had already been announced, but... now we know that we're getting it in fall.
I think this is the first time we're hearing about the second season.
Aniplex revealed an anime they're working on called Engage Kiss. Why did I put this one in here? Because the description of the city was really weird. It said in Baylong City, an artificial island city established in the Pacific Ocean to exploit local natural resources. It's always funny to me when... like rom-coms or just like slice of life shows go out of their way to make really weird settings and then never do anything with it. And yeah, I assume this is going to be
I think that's a bad thing. I think if you're going to do something interesting, then you should do something interesting with it, not let it flounder and just exist.
Black Summoner is a anime adaptation of a manga, I believe, that's coming out in July. The description is apparently this guy traded his memories to be a powerful fighter, which does not make a whole lot of sense to me because you're not going to remember what you need to fight. Prince of Tennis is getting an anime, another one that's coming out in July. It's called U17 World Cup. Eminence in Shadow is coming out in October. This is an isekai story where somebody like makes up a evil organization to recruit a bunch of people, and it turns out the organization he made up is real, which reminded me of Steins Gate. Dr. Stone, the OVA that we talked about, I think, a couple weeks ago, that is coming out in July. Kantai Collection, Boat Girls. I think we talked about that getting another season pretty recently, so that is coming out in November. That's getting an 8-episode run, which is very unique. And if Girls based on vehicles, if you still need that fix, there's going to be more Strike Witches. Strike Witches spinoff called Luminous Witches is coming out in July.
This is so funny because we had the Ken Coley and then Strike Witches. And this Strike Witches thing sounds just like a weird Macross. It's like, no, we're not going to fight. We're aircraft girls. But instead of fighting, we're going to sing.
Why not? What else? Here's a big one. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stone Ocean, anime second part, streaming this fall. Me and Vinny talked about this on Twitter a little bit. A lot of people are not happy about this because they want it airing weekly. And to that, I was like, why don't you just watch it once a week on your own if you don't want to binge it?
You know what I mean? When they release it, I do think this is sparks a broader conversation, just that like Netflix's model of dropping it all at once is just a bad model.
I don't disagree with that, but I guess I was confused why people were upset that they were getting more of the thing that they like.
Well, I mean, they always knew they were getting, but I mean, I just think that other streamers have definitely shown that like the releasing all at once is just a bad model, right? It's really cruel to like, especially to something that potentially could develop a following through word of mouth. When you release it all at once, it's just, you know, it's either heaven or hell, right? You're either just immediately greeted with everyone watching it and loving it, or everyone hates it, or worse, it just releases with nothing, right? Not even a drop in the ocean.
Yeah, it's it seems that this model is starting to go away. And I know that in Japan, even though they're releasing these things in chunks, they're also then doing a weekly TV release for a lot of them, like Baki.
Yeah.
The new season didn't get announced until the TV broadcast finished. I don't know if they're doing a TV broadcast for JoJo's, but...
I think people are just right to be mad, though, right? I mean, it's no longer like we have no alternatives, you know? And unfortunately, like, the narrative you're just dictated by these other companies. It's not in our control, right? It's like if it would be like if a game you really liked came out a week before Elden Ring, you know? Like, you'd be pissed.
Because nobody else would be talking about it. I guess I could still play the game, though.
But you know what I mean? But like that, but you would be pissed still.
I'm not saying
it's a one-to-one, but it's like analogous.
Kyle, I agree with you. I'm not following your analogy here. I guess to me it's that JoJo's had a big following and there was a big community thing when people would watch together each weekend episode would air. And
that's
the transition from that has been the problem. We're like, we don't see that with, say, like Baki, where I could see a similar community developing and having a, what the shit was that? Oh my God, a praying mantis fight. And like that would be the conversation for an entire day or two of just that one episode.
Yeah.
I guess I've never engaged with fandom in that way. Like I do to an extent on the podcast, but when I watch a show, it's usually for me. I don't go on and like talk about, you know, hit by hit moments like, oh my God. And then Baki did this and then he did this. And so removing that element doesn't change, I guess, the experience for me, but I can understand why people would be disappointed by that. I guess I don't know why somebody isn't trying to initiate like, all right, well, let's just talk about JoJo's on Fridays anyway. Obviously you're not going to get, you know, tens of thousands of people to do it, but it seems that there is a need for that kind of a conversation, and people are just complaining that it doesn't exist. Miserable news coming up. Crunchyroll is halting its ad-supported streaming, starting with the spring 2022 season. This is probably the biggest story of the week. So for a long time, Crunchyroll had their simulcasts a week after it aired. You could watch it for free with ads, and they had, what is it, like 100 million people that are unpaid members, and there's only like 5 million paid members. So this was a pretty big paradigm shift. And so for this new season, it sounds like the first three episodes of select titles will be available for a limited time. Those titles are Spy Family, Couple of Cuckoos, The Dawn of the Witch, Tomodachi Game, Skeleton Knight in Another World, Shikamori's Not Just a Cutie, The Greatest Demon Lord is Reborn, and Trapped in a Dating Sim, The World of Otome Games is Tough for Mobs. It is unclear moving forward what their approach is going to be. Have either of you ever used the free version of Crunchyroll?
I have, and I didn't like it.
The year was 2010 or 11, and I wanted to catch. I wanted to watch the next episode, and I well, it's like $6, and I can afford it.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that people are bringing up is that this is going to turn younger people or people that are maybe not as financially fortunate directly to piracy instead of having a free legal alternative. And there is an argument for that, but somebody, I think it might have been the CEO of Anime News Network, brought up a point in the forums that when you Google where to watch anime streaming, the pirated stuff shows up first on the search results anyway. So it's unlikely that these people would have found Crunchyroll in the first place. So it's, I don't know. It's,
yeah,
it's a tough decision, or it's a tough thing to talk about, because piracy is such a big part of anime fandom. Like, that's how a lot of us got here, is through watching fan subs. And so I think it's maybe one of the more piracy likely fandoms, but at the on the other end of that, they're like maybe one of the last big streaming companies that had a free version available.
I mean, Hulu still does.
Hulu has a free version?
Don't they? I think they still have an ad-supported level. Maybe
ads. You pay for the ad-supported.
Have to pay for the ad-supported. It's like the worst of both worlds.
Yeah.
This feels like leaving money on the table to me on Crunchyroll's part.
Yeah, it depends on how much they were making through that ad revenue. If it wasn't a lot, or if the cost got outweighed by the cost of the server, draw from all the free stuff, I don't know. It's not great. It probably doesn't affect a lot of the people that listen to our podcast, but it's going to affect a lot of people, and especially people that live in other countries that don't have as much access to anime as we do in the States. Moving on, we have a couple quick ones. Vampire in the Garden anime is getting a May 16th debut. This is about like vampires and people living in harmony, or vampires and humans. Golden Kamuy has a fourth season premiering in October. Their studio is switching from Brains Base to Geno Studios. Spriggan, the anime, I believe that's a TV series for Netflix, is coming out June 18th. Ghost in the Shell SAC 2045, season 2, is coming out May 23rd.
Don't watch it.
Yeah, it looks pretty bad.
It is.
It's a lot worse than the Blade Runner anime.
There was exactly one good episode of the first season.
Nice.
They added a Rei Ayanami like to Ghost in the Shell for some reason. I don't know why we're still in the year of our Lord 2022 adding Rei Ayanami likes to things. I don't get it.
My only exposure to Ghost in the Shell is the original movie. So I at one point thought about trying to watch some of the other pieces of that world, but there's so many of them and it was unclear which order I should watch them in.
It doesn't really matter. The one I'd recommend is Standalone Complex's TV series. If you like a police procedural and cyberpunk, that one is worth watching.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe someday. No Toonami ratings this week. As you remember a couple weeks ago, the person that does them, I think, just started classes, so they don't have time to do it. But we do have our Right Stuff top 10. So in the Blu-rays, Samurai Trooper Ronin Warriors is at number 10. Mobile Suit Gundam Movie Trilogy at number 9. My Hero Season 5 Part 1 at number 8. Bell has dropped 6 spots to number 7. Astro Boy 1980 is at number 6. Turn A Gundam Collection 2 is at number 5. Mobile Suit Gundam 0083 at number 4. Mobile Suit Gundam 8th MS Team at number 3, Lupin the Third, Part 1, at number 2, and then Darkstalkers, that's surprising, Darkstalkers OVA, that remaster, is in number 1. There's a lot of Gundam in here, because, what do you call it, Right Stuff had a Gundam sale recently. I bought G Gundam, so.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. I still need to get the Blu-ray of that.
It still has not shipped, and I bought it like 2 weeks ago, so Not great. The manga should not come as a surprise. Lots of Jujutsu Kaisen and Chainsaw Man. Let's see what is different. Number 6 has a Demon Slayer box set, and then the rest are all Jujutsu Kaisen and Chainsaw Man. I wonder how long that trend is going to last. And then our DVDs, Beelzebub Part 2. That's a new one. At number 10, Beyblade Metal Masters. At number 9, more Beelzebub Part 1. At number 8, 80 Police is still in here, this time at number 7. Beyblade Metal Fusion at number 6. IGPX at number 5. Gunbuster 2 DVD 1 at number 4. Trigun at number 3. And then the remaining two spots are more Gunbuster. Whoa, that's too loud. Interesting to see Beelzebub come back. I have not heard that name in ages.
For good reason.
Yeah. This has been the Gonzo.moe Newsbroom, your weekly source of uninformed news. We come out every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. You can find more episodes at gonzo.moe. We're also on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter. Links to that will be in the show notes, as well as links to all of our other stories. Again, if you listen to WJMOE Radio, I'm going to leave it up until it gets shut down, but it will be shutting down in the coming weeks. I believe April 8th or April 9th. So the one person in, I think, Germany that's listening, sorry, but, you know, I don't have any control over that. What else?
Phone number,
716-46-MOE-43, 716-466-6343. It's unusual that we end with this much time. I don't know what to do. Dick Fight Island podcast. That's coming.
It's coming up.
It's coming on Wednesday.
Just loving those double entendres, aren't you?
Forward to that. You guys. Thank you for listening, and check us out next time. Cheers, everybody.
Bye.